Now, I'd like to read, first of all, in the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16. And we'll read verse 15. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and we'll read at verse 15. And he, the Lord Jesus, said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 3. And verse 16. The Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And reading at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, and reading at verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then a final reading is in the book of the Romans, chapter 1. The book of the Romans, Romans chapter 1. And we'll read at verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now the Lord will bless these readings, I'm sure, to our hearts tonight. Most of these verses, I'm sure, or most in the meeting would be quite familiar with these favorite portions of the Scripture, gospel verses, that we've read together tonight. And I want to think of them very simply. The goal of the gospel is seen in Mark chapter 16. And when I think of the goal that's in the gospel, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The Lord Jesus said to every creature, I'm thinking tonight of a search that is being made, a search that is going on for men and women and boys and girls that they might be saved. And so go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, a search that is being made. In John chapter 3, a well-known verse again, For God so loved the world, we have it on the wall to my left, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I think of a sacrifice that was made, the very God of heaven made a sacrifice in the giving of his Son, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The greatest sacrifice that was given was God giving his Son. When I come to Ephesians chapter 2, I think of the grace of the gospel, if you will. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It reaches out to men and women. It reaches out to a guilty world. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so God's salvation is a gift that has been provided by God himself. Then when we come to Romans chapter 1, I was just thinking very simply of that verse of the goodness of the gospel. It is salvation that is provided to every person individually, every person, young and old, rich and poor. We were singing about that tonight. God's salvation has been provided. There's no need of one person going into eternity without God's salvation. Every person, friend, every person can know their sins forgiven and they can enjoy peace with God. That's why the Lord Jesus said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel, the Proverbs tells us, there's a verse in Proverbs 25 that says that the cold waters, good news from a far country is like cold waters to a thirsty soul. And I want to tell you the gospel tonight is good news from a far country. Heaven tonight has a message for earth. Heaven tonight has a message for men and women and boys and girls, every person. A message from heaven of good news, of salvation that's been provided, salvation that is presented and proclaimed in the gospel, and friend, salvation that is a present salvation, and it could be yours tonight. There's many in this, a number in this meeting tonight, and they could stand up here just as we're doing and could proclaim the gospel message in the very same way. A message and a story to tell how that God came into our lives, how we came to know Him personally as our Savior. We weren't always saved. Nobody was always saved. No person is always saved. Saw a woman one time, we were in Goose Bay, Labrador, and we went to and stopped into a home for a visit, and speaking with the woman and her husband, and we said to her, asked her about God's salvation, spoke to her a bit about salvation. She said, I was always saved. Well, we said to her, always saved. Well, is everybody saved? Well, she said, yes, everybody's saved. Christ died on the cross for the world, and everybody is saved. Well, we said to her, and there was quite a bit of problems going on in amongst a certain group of people, and so we brought up a man's name that had molested children and that had done some terrible things in that area, and we said, what about that man? Is that man saved? Is he going to heaven automatically, no matter what he does, no matter what he has done? Is that man going to heaven, do you think? And of course, we knew how she felt somewhat about that man, and she said, well, I can't see how that man would go to heaven. Well, I said, where's he going? Well, she said, well, then she didn't want to answer it, because then she would have to admit there's someplace else apart from heaven. Well, nobody is automatically going to heaven, and everybody is not automatically going to heaven. But the Bible declares that every person can go to heaven. And that's the good news of the gospel tonight, friend. God is searching for men and women and for boys and for girls. And that's the good news of the gospel. And so he comes to Victoria Drive, and he comes to Vancouver again in a very special way, and he moves through an area, and he moves through the community, and he begins to search hearts and homes for boys and girls and men and women that he might save them. You know, I was thinking today, there was on one occasion in the book of the Acts, a man went way out into the desert. And when he went out into the desert, he found a man in the desert that God was searching for. God had his eye on one man. Would God send a man, a preacher, to the desert for one person? Would God be interested in one young man or one young woman or one older man or one older woman? I want to tell you, friend, tonight, God is so interested, he would bring the gospel to a place for one person, that they might get saved. And that person tonight, friend, we trust is in this meeting, that would like to have God's salvation. And that man in the desert, why, he's reading the Bible, and he's reading the scriptures, and he asked, can you show me the way? And the preacher said to him, Philip said to him, why, the man that you're reading about there in the Bible and the scriptures, why, it's Jesus. And he's the person, he's the way of salvation. And that's the man that you need to get to know. Well, the man that we preach tonight in the gospel, his name is Jesus, friend. The man who died yonder on Calvary's tree. The man who bore the sins of a guilty world. And the man who bore my sin in his own body on the tree. My sin that had separated me from God. My sin that it shut the door of heaven against me. My sin that was taking me down to hell. I found out one morning, friend, that the Lord Jesus died for me, the guilty sinner. You think I'm sad or sorry tonight for that finding out? Well, I want to tell you I'm glad tonight for that day in my life's experience. When I found out God is searching for me. God is searching for a young man yonder in Nova Scotia in 1969, and he crossed my path, and I didn't deserve it. And he came my way, and there was nothing in my life that merited it. But I want to tell you, I found out God is searching for me. When I wasn't searching for him, he was searching for me. And I believe there's some in this meeting tonight, perhaps you're not searching for God. You're quite pleased with the way things are going, satisfied with the life that you're living. Well, I want to tell you, God is searching for you tonight, young man or young woman in this meeting, older person in the meeting tonight. God is searching for you, not here by accident. God is interested in you personally, that you might be saved. Then I think of two men that we read about last night, and they went to the dungeon. In that dungeon, they were there for the purpose that one man might get saved, and that man got saved, and then it reached out into his family. And you never know where God's salvation is going to reach when a person gets saved. But the man, those two men in the dungeon, I suppose they weren't that pleased about being there in the first place. But down in that dungeon, there was a man that God had his eye on, the Philippian jailer, and God was interested in that man. And then I thought of there was a man on the road to Damascus, and his name was Saul. And God stopped that man in the way he was going. And God just came right into that man's life and called a halt in his life. And that man Saul on the road to Damascus, why, he was made to acknowledge his need of God's salvation. And the Lord Jesus one day sat down on a well, a place where a woman came to get water for drinking. And that woman found the Lord Jesus Christ as her own and personal Savior, because the Lord was searching for her. And I want to tell you that the Lord is searching tonight in Vancouver for men and women and boys and girls. He's searching, friend. He would come right into this gospel hall. He would come right into this meeting tonight, and he would come right to the very seat that you're on. Searching, looking, in earnest. About a year ago, a little over a year ago now, in a couple of weeks, actually, yonder back on the coast of Labrador, there's a conference coming up in a little place called Charlottetown. And about this time of the year, then anyway, things are a little different this year, weather-wise. But the saints, the Christians, a number of people would travel by snow machine about 150 miles to this Bible conference. But a year ago, the weather was so bad on that weekend that we weren't able to go, and so we had to cancel out the trip. A young man and a young woman, the young man came to the home at my own place in the morning and asked about it, and I said, it's not fit to go over them hills, the barren hills, there on the Labrador coast for about 50 miles, and there's a big warning up on the trail to not to attempt the hills if the weather's not good. So we said, the weather's not good and we're not going. Well, that was about 8 o'clock, and about 9:30, the young man and the young woman got on the skidoo, and away they went. And about 2 o'clock, we found out that they had gone. Somebody said, oh, they left about 9:30. Well, they called through to the next community, about 70 miles away over the hills, and there was no sign of them yet. And so it went on into the afternoon, and then her mom, the girl's mom and dad, called down to Red Bay, where we were, asking about the daughter. And then, of course, the call started going along the coast, looking for this young couple. Well, at 6 o'clock, we decided we'd better go have a look. And so 4 of us left the community, and about 15 miles into to the hills, and then about another 20 miles to a cabin, and we were hours searching. And if I hadn't been out on too many of those kind of searches on that coast, but you'd have to be there, of course, to understand what it's like. It'd be like going in on these hills with the blizzard conditions and winds that were gusting up to maybe 100 kilometers, and then going in over these hills searching for somebody. Well, on those hills, there's markers about 75 feet apart, and impossible to find them. But anyway, we came to a cabin, the middle cabin it's called, and inside that cabin, a young man and a young woman was found. You know, there's different times when we talked amongst ourselves of turning back. And one of the men said, perhaps they're just ahead. Perhaps they're just, if we turn back now, and we turn back and we're almost where they're at, well, I said, we would never be able to live with ourselves. And so you press on. You know, I thought about that. I was thinking about that a little bit today. And I thought of a search that was made for two young people. Do you know why? Because it was those that were interested in those two young people. There was lives that was at stake, of those two young people. There had been others along that coast that had been caught out in those winter storms, and they had perished in the storms. They had went searching for young people, and they were gone into eternity, had lost control of their, and panicked, and they lost their lives. And so there was those that was interested in this young couple that they might be found. Well, I want to tell you, a far greater search than that has been made. That you might be found, friend. Not found in the blizzard of the storm. But I want to tell you, there's a storm that is hovering over this world in which you and I are living tonight. The storm of God's wrath that is going to come upon a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall because of man's sin. God's wrath and God's judgment is coming upon this world. That's what the Bible declares, friend. That's why a person needs to be saved. That's why a boy and a girl in this meeting, if you're not saved, friend, that's why you need to be in a hurry to get saved. The day in which you and I are living today, the time is running out. The Lord is coming again. It was mentioned downstairs in the prayer meeting tonight about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And why at any moment that shout could be given. At any moment the Lord Jesus could come to the air again with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, why they're going to rise first. Many a person who has sat in the meeting in this building, and now they've been buried in yonder graveyard, and yet saved by God's grace, and they're going to come forth and rise to meet the Savior in the air. And then those of us that are alive and remain, why, we're going to be caught up with them, together, to meet the Lord in the air. Do you believe that tonight? Well, I want to tell you that could happen. That could happen ere the midnight hour strikes. That could take place at any moment. And if you're not saved tonight, why, that should stir your soul. That should move you, friend, tonight to consider about your soul's salvation. So God is searching. It's a present search. He's searching tonight. It's a search, friend, that God is making so that you might be saved. So I think of the goal of the gospel, going into all the world, whether it be in the barren land on the Labrador coast or whatever part of the world, or whether it be here on this west coast of Canada, God is searching for souls, searching for men and searching for women, searching that they might be found. I wonder, would you be found tonight? Would there be one that could be found tonight in our gospel meeting? Why, God desires that you might be found, that you might be saved. And then I think of the sacrifice that was made, the God of the gospel, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why, the very God of heaven, the creator of this universe, the one that holds our breath in his hand, the one who gives us the air to breathe, and the health that we enjoy, and the many good things that's bestowed upon us, a good country that we live in. The God of heaven, friend, loved you and I so much that he gave his only begotten Son. What a sacrifice! What a sacrifice he made! God parting with his Son, the Lord Jesus coming to earth, and going all the way to the cross of Calvary, there to suffer, bleed, and die, there to give his life. And you know, not only did he suffer at the hands of man, but you know at Calvary, when he was hanging on the cross at Calvary, there was a darkness that covered that scene that day. And in that darkness, the very God of heaven, the very one who loved the Lord Jesus, yet he punished him, and he poured out upon him the punishment that you and I deserve for the eternal ages. And you know that the Lord Jesus made provision to meet your need and mine at Calvary. The death that he died on the cross and the sins that he bore on the tree, my friend, was enough and made provision for a whole world that you and I might be saved. And I'm glad tonight that I'm able to say to you, there was a day in my life when that took place. A moment in my life's experience. John 3, verse 17. One night, I suppose, probably tell how we get saved, parts of it anyway, every night. Seems like you always come back to that moment, and in that time when God in his mercy reached and saved your own soul. Well, it's great to have a story to tell. A person that's saved, every person that's saved has a story they can tell. You know, you can ask yourself, if you're going to heaven tonight, you can ask yourself three things. When was it that I started for heaven? Where was it that I started for heaven? And how did I start for heaven? You know, the Bible's very clear, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death on Calvary opened the door that we might enter in. It's not baptism. I was baptized, but baptism didn't save me. I got baptized after I got saved. I got baptized because I was saved. Because there was a time when I received the Lord Jesus as my Savior. So baptism is not salvation. Baptism doesn't save. Even taking the sacraments. You know, you take the bread and the cup, but even taking the sacraments, and many do. But friend, that is not salvation either. Going to church is not salvation. Living a good life is not salvation. A woman told us the other day, well, she said, I live a pretty good life, and I never hurt nobody, and I try to do the best I can. Well, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. A good neighbor makes a good community. Would make a good city, I suppose, if everybody was like that. But I want to tell you, that's not salvation. God's salvation is when a person receives the Lord Jesus personally as their Savior. Jesus died for me. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The God of the Gospel gave His Son that you and I might be saved. I think of the grace of the Gospel, for by grace, grace is something we don't deserve. You know, there's not one of us here tonight that deserves God's salvation. Do you think you deserve to go to heaven? Well, I suppose many do. Perhaps some do. You know what I found out? I found out that I didn't deserve to go to heaven. And in those meetings that I sat in when the Gospel was being preached, you know, nobody had to tell me that I was a sinner. I just had to look in the mirror. And when I looked in the mirror, I saw a sinner. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Would you be able to say there's a sinner? I asked a young fellow, he's at a Sunday school picnic, and of course the children were all sitting around, and so we were talking about salvation, and so I said to the children, I said, could somebody here, anybody here know a sinner? And this little girl put up her hand over here. So I said, stand up. So she stood up and all these children around. So I said, show me a sinner. And so she looked all around. She went up and down the lines of the boys and girls. And finally she picked a young fella. She wouldn't even know him, but I knew him. And he was a sinner, all right, because I knew him. And she said, him. And as soon as she said him, pointed to him, he jumped to his feet. He said, I'm not a sinner. Read in the Sunday school tree. He says, I'm not a sinner. Well, he said, and then of course he caught himself, and he said, I might have sinned once or twice when he began to think about it. But you know what the Bible says? Of course that was a good lesson. You know what the Bible says? All have sinned. And so that takes us all in tonight, everyone. From the speaker right to the back of our building tonight, the Bible has declared all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I found out that I was a sinner. And in those gospel meetings, my problem was not that I was a sinner. I knew that just as sure as I was sitting in the gospel meeting. My problem was whether I was going to get saved now or not. Whether I was going to accept God's way of salvation now or whether I was going to put it off for a later date. Perhaps that's your problem. No problem knowing that you need to be saved because you've known for years that you need to be saved. Your sins have separated you from God, and you know at the end of life, your little life journey is over, that there's the judgment of God, there's hell at the end of the life of the Christ rejecter, but you're just not ready to get saved right now. Well, the Bible declares, God declares, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why is that? Well, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You either accept it as a gift, friend, or you'll never get it. You either accept God's salvation without money and without price, or you'll never get God's salvation. You'll never figure it out.
Many a person has tried to figure out God's salvation. Well, friend, you'll never figure it out. No person could figure out why God would love a sinner, why God would send His own Son, why God would punish the Lord Jesus at Calvary for a guilty, lost sinner. Nobody could figure that out. But I'll tell you, God's grace is given and displayed to us. For God, by grace, are ye saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And then the goodness, of course, is salvation. You could have salvation tonight in this gospel meeting. There's no need of one person leaving this building tonight without enjoying God's salvation. Well, you could rejoice, walk out of this building tonight rejoicing. Why, my sins are forgiven. I've got God's salvation. I'm ready for heaven, come what may. If the Lord comes tonight, why, I'm ready to go. God's salvation. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We trust that you might believe it tonight, even as our meeting continues. Remember, I often say, remember, tomorrow could be one day too late.